Welcome to the Labor Beat Radio Show, broadcasting regularly on Tuesdays at 9 a.m. This show was the broadcast live on the 27th of June. That's 2023. And my good friends and co-host, J.B. Christensen and Scott Marshall, are the co-hosts today as we discuss the upcoming Big Stick Summer of labor negotiations and auto, UPS, hospital industry, and many more. Here it goes. There he is. There he is. God, he looks grayer than he did before.
It looks longer. It's longer.
Well, I've been out in the sun.
Oh, good. A little pink. You got a little pinkish.
Right. All right. Well, Scott, I'm glad you tuned in here. This is the Labor Beat Radio program here on enlightenradio.org, and you can access that anytime. If you go to www.enlightenradio.org or player.enlightenradio.org, it's playing all the time. And we also have a long list of podcasts from a lot of people on podcasts, plural. Enlightenradio.org. And so I was just talking with JB Scott about the schedule. So it turns out that the guest we were talking about for today, which is the West Virginia budget and policy people, talking about the hydrogen hub deal, okay, which is going to have an impact on the whole energy question in more ways than one. And then we also got, Steve Nopke says he's going to get Bob King, you know, the former UAW president, on for the following Tuesday. So the problem with next Tuesday is going to be the Westwood, but that's the July 4th. And I hope those guys were aware of that when they told me that's what they really wanted. and I don't mind, it's okay with me, but anyway. And then I was going to try to get a hold of Joe Henry, who we talked to this weekend, Scott, about coming on about the Teamsters, the UPS struggle, which I think both of those are going to be both the UAW thing and the Teamsters are going to be of wide interest in West Virginia. That's a tentative sort of schedule at this point. And I thought today we might just have a go around a little bit on the possible, although looks like likely, serious strike activity going on through the summer and into the fall. Not only the ones that we've been talking about, the Starbucks campaigns and some of the organizing campaigns, but it looks like close to 750,000 workers, just counting the Teamsters and all of auto and the UAW ag machinery business could be going on strike on a national level. Just as the political season heats up, too. And so that seems to be like an important and possibly a momentous event. Also, I'd say the fact that, the leverage of American workers, at least right now, the labor market's pretty tight. They keep talking about it all the time. And there's a lot of pent up issues that have been unbelievably aggravated by the pandemic and inflation on people's pocketbooks and just, the whole thing. And so and what the mood of the people is in response to that, you've been talking about it quite a bit, Scott. Especially from the Chicago and the steelworkers' point of view. Sometimes I thought, well, I don't see all of that in West Virginia right now. But But anyway, it seems to be like it's the leading edge going into the summer and in the early fall. So that was my opening basically this morning on what the schedule looks like. And maybe I understand also there's going to be a big struggle in Los Angeles with the hotel, a whole bunch of the hotel industry. And I think the hospitality industry is another one, you know, that's just been hammered through the whole pandemic, and has to be. They're at the lower end of the wage scale. So the if they haven't been getting a raise, which if they're organized, you got to wait till the contract comes up, usually, right, to fight for it and get it. So that means they've been hit badly by the inflation thing as well. And I think it would be really interesting if there was a really strong and victorious struggle among service workers at that level, you know, because just think of the inspiration that'll provide to the Starbucks workers, for example, and you know, having thinking through a little bit more about if the Starbucks workers can, you know, reach a point where they compel any level of actual recognition, right, from the corporation. Same with Amazon workers, right? If you can really get them to, I mean, so far, I don't think the Amazon Corporation has recognized the Staten Island victory. They're probably going to appeal it as far as they can. And who knows, they may even defy it anyway. But the point being is that this, you know, winning the recognition fight at some level, so the folks can, you know, have a victory dinner, you know, and feel good about what they're doing. So that's what I think we're headed into that season, and the importance of these strikes is not only for just the overall labor movement coming alive and picking up a lot of steam and people feeling optimistic, you know, about the capacity to unite. That is up. But then there's also the political implications. I mean, the railroad strike in Canada, you know, the president imposed a settlement that I don't think, you know, I'm not sure what all the railroad workers think about it. If you read some of the rank and file, you know, stuff, it looks like they weren't happy, but I don't think they're ready to throw Biden out with the bathwater at this point. On the other hand, you know, if a similar situation arises with 300,000 UPS workers, or, you know, or their auto workers too, trying to do the existential minimum, which is to get out of this two-tier thing, which is just strangles union spirit in a shop, man. I mean, two guys doing the same job, making, you know, half the pay of one. It's just, it's demoralizing.
Untenable.
Yeah, that just doesn't work.
Yeah, that's right.
Anyway, so what do you guys think about this season of struggle coming up here?
Well, you know, I'm glad you mentioned Amazon and Starbucks, because both of those unions are now demanding and organizing for a national contract for all Starbucks workers, for all Amazon workers, and that is a huge step forward in the labor movement. And as most of you know, but I'm going to say it anyway, it was that kind of action way back in the Roosevelt days that led to the formation of the CIO. And the CIO opened huge doors for the labor movement to organize and to get powerful. And I think that's happening again. With that situation, and like you said, John, there's just an incredible amount of steam in the labor movement these days, and they're just they're getting so much approval from the working class, and they're getting so much support from, you know, they're building, the AFL-CIO is building these coalitions that are huge and involve, you know, anti-racist, women's rights, and on and on and on. And that kind of coalition is what it takes to really win some of the issues that we care about. So anyway,
you know, speaking of the, you know, the CIO, the actual increase between 1930 to 1946 was the labor movement went from 5 to 25 million.
Wow.
Yep.
25 million.
I mean, and that, just think of that, the rate of it, it's like a fourfold increase or fivefold increase.
That's right.
After 1947, things started to slip a little bit, but
yeah.
Did you mention something about the different part of the rail workers were thinking about going on strike as well, John?
I read that there was, yeah, I read that, and I think that somebody just got a, I don't know where they were on strike, but they just got a settlement. There was a section, one of the unions got a settlement that included the sick days that were left out of the imposed settlement.
And there was also that the drivers for UPS got fans and cooling stuff in their trucks.
Oh, right. And this is in advance of the UPS actual negotiations, or well, I guess
exactly.
They are.
Exactly.
Yeah. Imagine that down there in the Southwest, we're in Houston, where it's 115. I guess I hit 119 yesterday.
Yeah.
And you don't have any air conditioning in your truck.
Well, we've already had accidents where people fainted. And
oh, my God.
You know, and even I think one driver was killed.
Oh,
because he fainted and his truck turned over into a valley or something. I don't know. But I mean, it's just unconscionable.
Well, one thing, we never get air conditioning in the engine room. I'll tell you that.
On the ship?
Yeah, actually, we did have air conditioning in the control room where all the computers were.
Yeah, they got to protect those.
Yeah, exactly. That wasn't for us. That was for the machines.
Yeah, exactly. Does that have something to do with capitalism?
Yeah, no. Something like that.
No, man. That's a church.
Try to squeeze out another ounce of blood.
Oh, God.
Anyway. Oh, my God. Well, so I'm wondering about, you know, if you're on strike, and I just take the first big contract coming up is UPS, I think. I think they've already started negotiations. And I saw... I've always been suspicious of certain political groups' descriptions of events, because sometimes I think that, you know, sometimes they're provocations. So I was reading the World Socialist Weekly or something, which I think is kind of out there of some sort. But, you know, I used to have experience with the Trotskyists when I was in SDS in Buffalo, and we had organized a big demonstration, get all the freaking permits and everything. And these guys would run to the front of the march with their banners and go down a different street, as if like all the people down a different street were weren't permitted, so they could throw rocks through the bank windows.
Oh, God.
And then, of course, the cops had somehow been previously informed that this was going to happen, and we're just waiting.
God, boy, sounds like Black Lives Matter.
You know, you have to check. I'm just saying, you have to check things out. Nonetheless, these guys put out a thing about what the leaked company demands in UPS, which were horrendous. Okay. So, our friend Joe Henry, you know, Scott, I was talking. So I showed it to him. Is this what is coming down? Really? And he looked at it. He says, well, it's mostly true. So you don't need to dramatize much, you know, what the company is doing. Now, you know, sometimes, you know, if the company senses that the rank and file has a lot of pent up anger, okay, and justified issues, and not only that, they're so frustrated, everybody starts raising the ante, okay, or they'd like to. Right, to get some justice. And And I remember we had a bargaining committee meeting. It was a paper mill that I helped represent in New Hampshire. And I said, you got to get all the members out to this meeting because there's a lot of issues that were really problematic. A guy had gotten killed in the shop. Anyway, so I said, you got to get him out to the meeting. So the chief steward said, sure, I can do that. And next day he called me up. Well, we're having the meeting in the at the American Legion Hall. And I said, yeah. And he says, and we're going to have an open bar for 30 minutes. That's why we're going to be there. You know, that's a guarantee. That's those guarantees are going to be there. Well, let me tell you, after the open bar for 30 minutes and you start assembling, you know, proposals for negotiations, you know, it can go. I think we got up to like 40 weeks of paid vacation, you know, something like that by somebody. And you know, it was pointless to even do anything about. Maybe we should think about something a little more. And then I got you, shut up, you know. And so we got. I don't know what the company is going to do. Well, the next day, the company made up at the first meeting. They made up a similar list of demands, heading in the exact opposite direction. Right. So it's possible sometimes. So sometimes just because the company has a bunch of draconian demands, you know, that they come, they may be, you know, their main strategy may be, I just want to get back to the status quo, right, at the bargaining table somehow, right? But if they just want to get back to the status quo with what's been happening in the last 5 years in trucking, they're making a pretty serious miscalculation, in my view.
Yeah.
You know, so. And that's when the big things happen, when the company miscalculates. You know, it can also happen with unions if you're the union miscalculates, you know, but we don't, yeah. You know, it's, you don't find out the truth until you set fire to these guys. Okay. They'll sit there and lie to you all day long, you know, about everything and cover everything up. And the sales job and the marketing job just goes on and on and on. And the only way you can find out any part of the truth sometimes is to hurt them.
But this is a backlash for COVID. All those years of no pay raises and essential workers, you must go to work and you must expose yourself. And mm-hmm. I mean, you know, all that pent up frustration for 3 years is finally coming to surface. And it's right before a political season, you know, the elections are coming up next year. And, you know, this is a perfect time, I think, and we should come up with a name for it. You know, we should come up with a name for it and see if we can get it out there and adopted. And we can say we were the ones that invented the name for it.
Liberation Summer or something. I don't know.
Fight Back Summer.
Yeah. All right. I like that.
I like We Shall Overcome.
Yeah, there you go.
How about misery?
I want to fight back and end up on top. That's personally how I'd like it, you know.
Misery loves company because nobody likes to be on strike, you know. Nobody likes to be on strike. And you know, the more that join it, the bigger chance we have for what we all want, I think, on this call is a general strike. You know, I mean, that's something that we've all dreamed about, you know, to really grab the government and all these politicians by the neck, you know, our favorite ones like, you know, Ted Cruz and all these other jackals out there that need to be, you know, reined in, and all these insurrectionists that are still getting paid by our tax money in Congress, like Marjorie Taylor Greene and Lauren Boebert and that crazy Sanchez guy.
Marjorie and Lauren are having a real fight.
Yeah, you love that. That's a cat fight.
Well, it turns out that Marjorie stood behind McCarthy.
Right.
Leadership, right? And got a bunch of goodies for whatever her district is in exchange. That's what I'm hearing. And Boebert didn't get anything because she didn't like McCarthy. And so now Boebert is circulating some kind of move to get the other one, Marjorie Taylor Greene, ejected
from that house. Well, you know, to an earlier point that we were talking about, I don't think that a general strike is way out of the question now. I mean, they're momentum building on so many levels to fight back. And it doesn't take much to recognize that one of the ways we can win all of this is with a general strike. And, you know, and in general, you know, most of the working class is sick of this crap and wants to change stuff. And I think we're, you know, we may be surprised. It may come quicker than we think, but we have to be ready for it.
I think it helps to if the strike itself, you know, a lot of times, you know, you think you're very strong, right? Relative to the company, even when they're in a economic situation, but it's always it's dangerous to underestimate the political power of the company, because if they can threaten the well-being of the community then or the state or the nation, then the politicians have to respond somehow. But if the unions have allies, if their interests are if satisfying their just demands expands justice for others, then I think the communities will tend to stand. I think like you say, Scott, I mean, many people outside the labor movement are also, you know, living on the edge, and they're, you know, it's, if you reach out to them in the right way, you can get a big response. And that's what, and even if take the best possible interpretation of Biden, that he really does believe in, you know, the labor, he's also a guy that's going to, you know, put together the better coalition that he can, and whatever that is, he's going to go with it. Okay. If it doesn't do everything for labor. But if you get out there and you show that you got allies for staying tough and, you know, not backing up on the most important demands, then it makes it possible for him to do it too.
Well, you know, another point on, and I can't remember what it's called, but a lot of unions are including community concerns in their negotiations. And they're saying, okay, if we get this raise, we also want to we want the company to agree that they'll repave the streets around the building or, you know, something. I can't remember what community engagement or whatever it's called. And that's beginning to happen, and people are beginning to get things done for their neighbors and for the community, and that helps build this coalition too, because a lot of those people say, hey, the labor movement, that's the one that got us this stuff, they're the ones that can move us forward. So I think that's an important component too.
I was thinking the other day about an additional thing. I mean, I talked to JB about this a little bit, but I think the labor movement has to figure out a way, and probably this has to be done through central labor councils, since they're sort of assigned the task of, where's our political unity, you know, between different unions who have sometimes similar, but sometimes different interests, depending on the projects that are going on. So the question of economic development, or at least principles, because it can be very complicated in each area, depending on what your workforce, industrial policy, if any, is there, or how the county or city finances are, and who is assigned to do the negotiations with new businesses or investments that are going to be made in the community. But nonetheless, like I was talking to a friend in Connecticut, it's done through the Board of Aldermen of most of the towns. Okay. In West Virginia and Virginia, it's done through counties. Okay. And I think most states, it's actually done through counties. But in any event, if you got your, if you have a, you know, even if you haven't got a fully formed policy, if labor has, you know, some principles to apply, you know, like, so you can get people elected and they can, even if you're not an expert, you know, like the 50 years of having real estate and development agents, you know, on these boards in most of these towns, right, in most cities and counties, who are basically seeking to get privilege to use to build stuff and pay as little taxes as possible. Whereas, you know, we would be looking at the, well, what are the amenities side, you know, who is going to get left behind in the process, right? You know, and is there a serious pollution damage, you know, I mean, what is the, you know, are there going to be any benefits, like in West Virginia, if you're not putting money into the school system, you know, you're really, you know, chasing it down a rat hole right now. So, you know, things like that, right? But I know it takes, it's going to take some hard work. It's not, you know, certain trades don't always think the same as others. And but it ought to be possible to find common ground enough to start playing a role. Because, you know, let's get off of defense and move toward offense a little bit.
Exactly.
JB, did we lose you? He's got it.
I was on mute. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
And we didn't even mention the Hollywood writers' strike. That's having a big impact.
Yeah.
Because that's out, you know, that's every night people turn on Colbert and see a rerun, you know, they get upset. Oh, I saw that show 3 months ago.
Yeah.
Well, and, I was on a podcast with Michael Moore yesterday, and he was talking about, he's been catching up on all these movies, and he recommended a whole list of his favorites. And I wrote down every one, you know, one of them's The Diplomat. You know, we got to go see The Diplomat. Has any of you seen that?
No.
No.
He recommends it highly. That's a Netflix.
Oh, Netflix.
Is it, which Diplomat is he talking about there?
Well, it's just a show called Diplomat, you know.
Okay. Well, what's it about?
Well, I think it's about that, you know.
Oh.
It's about being a diplomat and all that goes on behind the scenes, you know.
Oh, okay.
So I better watch that so I'll know.
Well,
you're going to be in the.
He says it's riveting, so you know.
Yeah.
Which country do you like to be ambassador to, JB? I mean, I'm.
Oh boy, that's a good one. Belize.
Belize.
You can find me on the beach.
Find you on the beach, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I want to be a ambassador to Arizona.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
I don't know why, but it begins with an A.
Yeah.
Well, it's yeah, right. Well, it's going to be 120 on the streets of Phoenix today, probably. So,
yeah.
Well, and you guys have been hammered up in Chicago, too, right, Scott? Haven't it been hot there?
Yep. Yep. It's, I never thought I'd be glad to come to New York.
Yeah, right. But
it's getting to be almost hot here.
It was humid as hell in New York, you know. Just, yeah.
It was here too. I don't think we escaped that.
Yeah.
So. Montreal had the worst air quality ever.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
That was wild.
My daughter lives there.
Oh, yeah. Really? Yeah.
Angela lives there, and she called yesterday about that. Yeah, they're having it's the fires apparently are not over.
Yeah. Guys, I really need to get going now.
Okay. All right, buddy. All right. Well, we got
exactly 9:30. 30
minutes. We got 30 minutes, you know. That's good enough for sure. Anyway, you guys cool with the schedule coming up for the next 2 weeks? We've got the West Virginia budget and policy on the hub. We got either Steve or Bob King, you know, and then we got UPS the following week.
That's yeah.
Okay.
Sounds like a dynamite lineup there.
Yeah, it sounds right. Really.
I mean, And I'm thinking, and I ask, oh, by the way, you know, JB, I ask Andy Waters, the our secretary treasurer in the state, you know, because he has, they have this, you know, big plan on regional concentration to develop candidates. Although I don't know how much he wants to make public about it until he has some more.
Oh, it's not a big deal. I mean, we can.
But I was going to invite him to. Well, yeah, I thought it was an interesting example of how West Virginia is trying to adapt to the political environment. Okay, here. Because it might be. Okay.
I got to go.
Anyway, all right.
We'll see you, Scott. Take
care. Bye. So long, Scott. Later, take buddy. Care, man. Bye, bye, buddy. Care. All right. So, but JB, let me turn off the recorder here.